Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And one of the conversations that we wanted to have was about this new asteroid that has, you know, and I get very nervous. So you know that I get nervous about these things. New potentially hazardous asteroid has been discovered. An international team of astronomers on Monday announced the discovery of a large asteroid whose orbit crosses that of the Earth, creating a small chance far in the future of a catastrophic collision. Now, I don't know. Do we need to get our affairs in order? This is the thing. You know that I'm a hysteric in some ways, in a lot of ways, but we wanted to understand what this really meant. Dr. Daniel Ukunoma, who's a science engagement astronomer at the South African Astronomical Observatory. Good morning. Thanks for joining us so bright and early. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you.
So, hold on. Because you are an astronomer, does that mean you're a night person?
Well, I mean, most of our observations now happen at night, a lot of them remotely, a lot of them robotically. So we don't have to stay up very late very often anymore.
Right, okay. So that's convenient. So you could have a whole new group of morning people becoming astronomers.
Exactly. No. It's no longer a requirement. Okay,
well, that's good. Maybe I'll look at that then, because certainly I'm not a night person. But tell us about this potentially hazardous asteroid. Do we need to get our affairs in order?
Yeah. So I mean, as you said, it's a very small chance. We're constantly discovering these things. There's in fact a new telescope in Sutherland and our observing station, which was just commissioned at the end of last year. And we are detecting new asteroids all of the time of various sizes. And that's kind of the difference is if it's fairly small, we don't really have to worry about it. But only when it's getting really, really big, up to hundreds of meters, is it actually going to be really potentially hazardous.
Right.
But when we're classifying these things, you know, they're classified as potentially hazardous, even though there's a very, very small chance. And all that means is that we will follow up with it, make sure we can constrain its orbit as accurately as possible, so that we can work out whether there is something to worry about.
Right.
At the moment, I would say there's nothing really to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll be following up with all of the telescopes we can to make sure we can work out the orbit exactly.
Well, I mean, let's assume it is a problem. Is there anything that actually can be done about it?
Well, I mean, so a couple of weeks ago there was that NASA DART mission, which I'm not sure if you chatted about, where they impacted an asteroid and managed to deflect its orbit.
Right.
So if we can detect these things far enough out, you know, with at least a few years' warning, there is a possibility we can detect it very slightly. And that can be enough, you know, if you're...
Just to change its orbit
by a tiny amount,
direction that little bit.
Far enough out. Earth is a hard thing to hit, really, the vastness of space. So we would have to be pretty unlucky. I think that's, you know, that asteroids or sort of meteorites are hitting the Earth all the time, but they're mostly very, very small, so we don't notice them. But there is a possibility of large ones. Although we have, you know, over the years mapped most of the really, really big ones, the ones which would be potentially sort of civilization ending, we can find those. Our telescopes are sensitive enough that we've kind of mapped out and calculated the orbits of all the really, really big ones.
Right. And then tell us about this famous, now becoming famous, photo of the so-called smiling sun.
it's pretty convenient it landed on Halloween.
Yeah.
But essentially, this is happening all the time, too. So the surface of the sun is kind of bubbling, boiling thing, and it sends out these flares, these solar flares, where a large cloud of gas or highly charged particles gets flung off the surface of the sun. And what that creates to us, or to our telescopes rather, is the sort of cooler spot. As the gas moves away and cools, we get a dark patch. So, you know, a few days ago this happened, and there were these three dark patches, which looked a little bit like a smile. smiley face on the sun, like we've all drawn before.
Yes.
And the solar flares, the highly charged particles, then head on their way to Earth. Fortunately, this one wasn't large enough to cause an issue, but that's another thing which we do monitor constantly. If there's a very, very large solar flare, there's a chance that it'll knock out, communication satellites or even potentially our power grid.
How often does that type of thing happen?
So the very large ones are fairly rare. So I would say, every tens of years, so 10, 20, 30 years. But the smaller ones are happening constantly. And these give rise to the aurora. So these highly charged particles come in, they hit Earth, the magnetic field deflects them and channels them into the Earth's atmosphere over the poles. And that's why we get the aurora borealis and aurora australis. And, so a nice big flare that isn't dangerous is going to result in some spectacular aurora if you're lucky enough to be that far north.
Amazing. Dr. Daniel Kunama, who is a science engagement astronomer at the South African Astronomical Observatory, talking to us this morning. Thank you for taking the time to do so.